So this morning, we're going to think particularly about the first reading that we heard from 1 Samuel, that story of Samuel anointing David. And it's a reading that I think is all about choices. Over the last few days, as I've had this story in mind, I've noticed the theme of choice coming up again and again. On Thursday, I had to choose who to vote for in the Lewisham by-election. This weekend, sports pundits will be speculating about who will be chosen to be part of the starting 11 in England's first World Cup match. Every night this week, as many as 4 million people have tuned in to ITV2 to watch the contestants on Love Island choose who they will couple up with. And Conservative MP Sir Christopher Chope on Friday exercised his democratic right by choosing to object to a parliamentary bill that would make something called upskirting a criminal offence. Exercising choice is part of life. Every day we make countless choices, from what we'll have to dinner, for dinner, often that's my most challenging choice of the day, right through to choices about moral and ethical behaviour. Sometimes we may feel that we've made the right choice. Hopefully you did when you voted on Thursday. At other times, we may reflect that we have made the wrong choice. Either way, we have to live with the consequences of our choices. And at times, we also have to live with the consequences of other people's choices that have an impact on our lives. So how does this story speak into our lived experience of choice? When you read the story, it's very easy to seize on the central narrative and to miss the wider context. The story is, of course, focused on God choosing David to be the next king of Israel and Judah, but that choice is made within a wider set of choices. It's worth saying at this point that if you've got the Bible open in front of you, or if later on you happen to look back at 1 Samuel 15, that some of what is written there is pretty unpalatable. I know that will surprise you with the Old Testament. It's normally so jolly and full of cheery good news. But as you read back through 1 Samuel, some of the behavior that's attributed to God, to his people, to his prophet, and to his king is fairly reprehensible. It's important when we read it to remind ourselves that we are reading about a tribal society that existed 3,000 years ago, and therefore it reflects the culture of its time. We read through today's eyes, but it is a story that's set in a totally different context. And when I read it, when I see some of the things that are attributed to God, I'm inclined to think that they projected their worldview onto God. So I say that to say we have to read these stories with care and thoughtfully questioning what might be going on. So I find when I read these stories that what interests me most is the unexpected ways in which God acts in that tribal ancient culture. So how does God do something that surprises the people of that time? Now, according to the Old Testament, God's people asked God to give them a king so that they could be like the other nations, the other tribes. God didn't want to appoint a king because he didn't want them to be like all of those other groups. But God honored his people's choice. I find that interesting already. He honors their choice. Through Samuel, God chose Saul to be that first king. But then we read in 1 Samuel 15 that Saul disobeyed God. He made some wrong choices and he led the people in the wrong direction. So at the start of the reading that we heard, we're told that both God and Samuel, God's prophet, are grieving because everything has gone wrong. Because wrong choices have been made and they are grieved as a result. I suspect there are people here who know how that feels. Whether you've ever made choices that you regret or whether you're living with the consequences of other people's choices. You may well regret how things have turned out and you may wish that things could be different. So when God sends Samuel to anoint David as the new king, what we see is that God is choosing to start again. God begins a new royal line. It went wrong with Saul, so he starts again. And that new royal line will lead all the way from David right through to his descendant, Jesus. And I guess it's as if God presses the factory reset button on what has been happening in Israel. Next week in church, it's our confirmation service. And as part of that service, one member of our congregation is hoping to be baptized and confirmed. And baptism is like pressing the factory reset button. It's a way of saying to God, as an adult, I want to start again. I want the past to be washed away. I want to begin again with all the baggage of the choices that have been made by me and by others lifted from me. Now, interestingly, after Samuel anoints David as the new king, nothing changes. We're told that at the end of the reading. Samuel returns to Ramah, that's where he's come from. Saul remains as king, and David goes back out into the field to continue to care for the sheep. This wonderful story, this selection of David as king, and then it all remains the same. Nothing has changed, and yet everything will change. It will. This is the beginning. Wrong choices are part of life. But for some of us, the implications of those wrong choices are more far-reaching. They cast shadows over our lives. So if this morning you feel, actually, I am living in this setting like Samuel and David, where it feels like so many wrong choices have been made, then ask God if you can start again. And it's like this story, you're unlikely to see immediate changes, but God will begin something new in you. That's what he does in this story. This is also a story of unexpected choices. I don't know about you, but whenever I hear this story, it transports me right back to school, to PE lessons, to the hideous moment some of you will no doubt have experienced where your PE teacher chose two team captains and then delegated the responsibility to them to choose teams for hockey, netball, insert hideous sport of choice here. The team captains would inevitably choose the biggest, the fastest, and the fittest first, only then moving on to pick the others. And as someone who's never been good at sport, I was always one of the last to be chosen, even when my friends were team captains. That's how bad I was at sport. In this story, Samuel is sent to Bethlehem to anoint one of Jesse's sons as the next king of Israel. Step forward, Eliab, Jesse's oldest son and the biggest, fastest, and fittest of the brothers. He is the obvious choice, the one you would want on your team. And I'm sure Samuel was there with his horn of oil twitching away, certain it's going to be this one. But somewhat surprisingly, Eliab is not God's choice. God does the reverse of the team captains at school. He turns down one after the other, all of the obvious choices, and he chooses the least likely person. The one whose status actually is so low that they didn't even bother inviting the youngest to turn up for the sacrifice that Samuel was there for. This must have been sufficiently counterintuitive to merit God saying to Samuel, you know, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I guess it's the God version of saying, don't judge a book by its cover, Samuel. And God's choice of David is challenging. It challenges us to look at ourselves differently. And it challenges us to look at other people differently. I wonder how the story challenges you this morning. Perhaps you have sensed that God is calling you to follow a new direction in life. And that call to follow a new direction can come at any age or stage in life, right from being a child through to being in retirement. But maybe you have doubted that call to follow a new direction because you don't really believe that God would choose you. Look at me, Lord. My face doesn't fit. I'm not the right one for this. Or perhaps you've been struggling with another person at work or in a community group that you're part of, another person in church, finding it hard to accept that they've been chosen for a particular role because you feel that their face doesn't fit. They can't be the one who's been asked to do that.
But God makes unexpected choices. He chooses to work in unexpected ways and through unexpected people. In fact, it happens again and again and again in the Bible. David was busy tending the family herd. He was doing exactly what the youngest son was expected to do, but God had other plans for him. I wonder if you sense that God is challenging you, that he has other plans, other work for you to do. I'm very aware when we talk about choice, there are many people who feel that their choices are limited. Choice is a privilege, and not everybody has it. And there are some people who feel that they have no choice over certain aspects of their lives. I was talking to someone earlier this week who told me that she'd become a full-time carer for two members of her family, not by choice, but by circumstance. And sometimes it feels like we don't have a choice, like life chooses us. And I've chosen that phrase very deliberately because I don't want to give the impression that God chooses us to do things that are against our will. I don't believe that God operates like that. But I do recognize that stuff happens in life. Life happens, circumstances happen, and it's as if we end up being chosen for something that we wouldn't have chosen for ourselves. In the story, God chooses David to be Israel's next king. And it's an unenviable task. We've got these wonderful stories about David. He's this young man, ruddy, handsome features. He goes on to face Goliath. But actually, you read the stories, he's called into this hugely pressured role, an immense responsibility that's very costly. So Samuel anoints David for that task. He takes that horn of oil and he pours it over his head. And that oil is a symbol of the presence of God and of the power of God, equipping David for what lies ahead. And some of us here are carrying significant responsibilities in our lives. For some of us, it's obvious what we're carrying. For others, the responsibilities we carry are hidden from view. And for many people, we have little choice over those responsibilities. But just as Samuel anointed David, God can anoint you for the challenges that you face now and that lie ahead. He will give you his presence and he will give you his power so that you can face down the giants that lie in your path, just as David went on to face down Goliath. So if this morning you're feeling weighed down by responsibility, if the notion of choice seems a joke because there are so many things happening in your life that you haven't chosen, then I want to remind you that God longs to anoint you with his Holy Spirit. He wants to be with you in it so that you don't bear this load alone. He wants to give you his presence and his power to face what you have to face. So those are my three reflections on choice. When God's plans are derailed by wrong choices, God can give us a fresh start, that new beginning, that factory reset. God chooses unexpected people, which challenges the way that we see ourselves and others. And God can equip you for the tasks that you didn't choose. Amen.